This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, this week we're talking about the narrow-mindedness of religion, narrow-mindedness in the church, and we're exploring a scene from Jesus' life that gives us an idea of what he thought of these things. So picture this, the religious leaders, they're complaining about Jesus eating with sinners. Then Jesus tells them these famous parables to kind of answer their criticism. Let me read you two of the parables, and then John, can you take us through what you think Jesus is saying about religion in these passages? So this is from Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 10. Jesus says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." What is Jesus saying in these stories about religion, John? What's he saying in his day, and what's he saying to us?
Well, I think the first thing he's saying has to do with the attitude of religion. Did you notice this striking contrast between the murmuring or muttering of the religious leaders in the introduction to this passage? I think we looked at this last night. It says, "The Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So there's this contrast between the muttering and the joy of Jesus' parable. So I think it's quite profound. And the word muttering is an excellent Greek word. If you're going to learn one Greek word, I reckon this is a good one, because the sound of it conveys its idea, diagonguzo.
Oh, excellent. Onomatopoeia, that's it.
It is.
Mutter.
It sort of has this idea of being, it's a snarly, angry, muttering. Yeah. But contrast that with the theme of joy that bounces along through the parable. I mean, when the shepherd finds the sheep and the woman finds the coin, both of which are pictures of, you know, the sinners being found, the response isn't diagonguzo, but joy. You see, you know, the shepherd, it says, he joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulders. He calls his friends and neighbours, says, "Rejoice with me." And then when the woman finds a coin, same deal. Let's have a party. So you get this sense of this great contrast between religious depression and Jesus' joy.
It's a pretty bad stereotype of religious leaders here, as just kind of grumpy, unhappy types. Is that what you're saying?
Well, almost. I think what's being said here is when a person's religion is fundamentally about rules, you know, designed to draw distinctions between, you know, the bad people and the good people, there will be very little joy in your life. Now, that's partly because you don't know if you yourself have done enough to please God. Okay, because if your faith is based around rules, how do you know if you've done enough? And I think it's partly because to the extent that you think you might have done enough to please God, you'll complain about all those people who haven't done enough. So there's two reasons you'll be complaining. Your attitude to life will basically be negative. Negative about yourself, negative about the loss of Christian influence in society, about the waning of Christian morals. You know, but for Jesus, true faith is not fundamentally about rules designed to draw distinctions between us and them. It's fundamentally about God's love for the whole world. And as a result, I think the basic experience of the person who knows God in the sense Jesus wanted us to will be joy. Joy. I don't mean happiness, like in the trivial sense. I think it's entirely possible to be someone who struggles with depression and yet know this joy. Because joy in Jesus' language is a confident delight that despite everything, you are loved by God, that love is at the center of everything.
So is that the main point of these parables, that you find joy?
Well, it's certainly a part of it. I think the second critique Jesus is offering in these parables is not so much about the attitude of religion, but its stance toward the world. You notice the Pharisees are trying to remain separate from the world. But according to Jesus, true faith tries to connect with the world. You notice the instinct of Jesus' metaphorical shepherd isn't to decry the lost sheep and corral the remaining 99. What does he do? He goes searching for the lost sheep. And again, the instinct of this metaphorical woman who's lost her coin isn't to cut her losses and nervously hoard what's left. Instead, it says she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, she searches. And this is Jesus' picture of God. God's greatest joy is reaching out to those at a great distance from him. And those who have come to know this God, according to Jesus, will do the same. They won't withdraw from the world. They will reach out to the world in the name of God and love as they've been loved.
I know you've found a poem that you like that explores this theme of kind of the God or the Christ who goes out there and searches for the lost. We've heard some parables, but why don't you tell us about the poem?
Well, it's a Henry Lawson poem. Henry Lawson was an agnostic, probably an alcoholic as well, and yet he had amazing insight into real Christianity. And he wrote this poem called Christ of the Never Never about a real bush preacher who he heard about and thought, this guy represents Christ. Let me read it. With eyes that seem shrunken to pierce to the awful horizons of land, through the haze of hot days and the fierce white heat waves that flow on the sand, through the Neverland westward and norward, bronzed, bearded and gaunt on the track, quiet-voiced and hard-knuckled, rides forward the Christ of the outer outback. For the cause that will never be relinquished, despite all the great cynics on earth, in the ranks of the bush undistinguished by manner or dress, if by birth, God's preacher of churches unheeded, God's vineyard, though barren the sod, plain spokesman where a spokesman is needed, rough link between the bushman and God. He works where the hearts of all nations are withered in flame from the sky, where the sinners work out their salvations in a hell upon earth ere they die. In the camp or the lonely hut lying, in a waste that seems out of God's sight, he's the doctor, the mate of the dying, through the smothering heat of the night. By his work in the hells of the shearers, where the drinking is ghastly and grim, where the roughest and worst of his hearers have listened bareheaded to him, by his paths through parched desolation, hot rides and terrible tramps, by the hunger, the thirst, the privation of his work in the furthermost camps, by his worth in the light that shall search men and prove, aye, and justify each, I place him in front of all churchmen who feel not, who know not, but preach. It's amazing how much insight Henry Lawson had into just the sort of thing Jesus was talking about.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.